The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with Robin, who failed to put her headset on because I didn't tell her when the show was starting.
I asked you. That was sabotage.
Not really. It was just because I'm trying to answer John in an email in a you know, coherent fashion. So I'll finish it when I can finish it. But all right. So good morning, everybody. We've had quite a discussion about the reopening of the state to recreational angling and so forth. We talked about a little bit. Nobody seemed to care that the governor vetoed seven different bills having to do with crime and so forth, including the one that affects us as hunters more than anything, which was House Bill 4 combined with Senate Bill 208, the Public Safety Rifles and Shotgun Sales, Rentals, and Transfers, commonly known as the Secondary Transfer Bill, which would have required you to, if you wanted to give your gun to your son, or, you know, grandfather wanted to pass a gun down to their grandson. No, you couldn't do it at the house and say, son, I've had this 30-06 since I was your age, and now it's time for you to take it since you're a hunter. No, got to go to the dealer. You're a dealer involved. Grandpa has to go through background check. Junior has to go through a background check. You know, and everybody has to get their name in the system. Make sure we know where every rifle and shotgun is in the world. Well, that bill was vetoed by the governor. It was enacted by the House and the Senate. The governor just vetoed that bill, the secondary transfer bill. That's big news. That's good news. But nowhere in the governor's letter did he mention the Second Amendment or the rights of the citizens of Maryland under the Second Amendment. It was Baltimore City, House and Senate, you didn't pass the bills that I wanted passed, so I'm going to veto the bills that you passed instead. That's how the letter reads. I'll be glad to send that link to you. Or you can just go on 2amaryland.org and see the letter, the copy of the letter from the governor. You can download it, print it out, whatever you want to do. There we go. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number if you'd like to give us a call and weigh in on anything you heard the first hour. We're more than willing to listen to you and talk to you and engage with you and debate you if we want to or agree with you. So I left the last hour talking about the Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. He said Tuesday during a town hall meeting on food insecurity. he said that Anne Arundel County officials want to add a spring deer hunting season so hunters can donate venison to food banks, okay? It would mimic a program the county runs during the winter season that gives hunters a $50 tax break for each deer they donate. Well, the county doesn't run that. The state runs the deer management program in this state, the Department of Natural Resources, and the county doesn't give the $50 rebate tax break to hunters. It's a state law. Johnny Mouts, our local representative, was very active in promoting that. And, you know, it incentivizes donating deer. So, it's not a done deal. The county must first get approval from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. But if it's approved, Pittman said, it could cut down on a deer population that is 3 to 5 times what is healthy for the ecosystem and provide another food source for families. sudden in danger of going hungry because of economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic. Olivia Sanchez is not a very good writer, in my opinion. So, let's think about this for a minute. Why is our deer season managed the way it is? Our deer season managed the way it is because of the biology of the white-tailed deer. It is a sustainable resource. It is a recreational resource. And part of that management plan allows farmers 365 days a year to kill a deer anytime they want, and in most cases with any method they want. Okay? I mean, rifle, shotgun, bow, crop, whatever they want to use to protect their crops. So, Mr. Pittman, you already have an agriculture community in Anne Arundel County who is shooting deer. Even now, when deer are less than a month away from dropping their fawns, they are shooting those deer and they are wasting them. They are not harvesting them. They are wasting them. They are shooting them in a non-vital spot and allowing them to run into the woods and die, to be eaten by the buzzards. I cannot tell you how many farmers are doing that, but I can tell you that there are something like 8,000 deer management permits issued in the state of Maryland a year. And I used to know the numbers much better because we've talked about this. So if you want a resource, Mr. Pittman, go to your farm community. Get the farmers that harvest those deer. And, you know, as one of the Southern Maryland Farm Bureau members said, oh, we like it when the does are pregnant. We get a threefer when we kill one. In other words, they kill the doe and the two fawns and leave them lay. If you want to harvest a resource, go to your farmers. Don't try to institute another hunting season. You have no biological idea about what you're talking about. You have no idea about deer biology. You, on that particular subject, are ignorant. So shut up unless you know what you're talking about. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Yeah, all right, let's see. Getting texts in, can't respond to all of them. Getting emails, can't respond to all of them. So what do you think? Should we have a, it seems a little premature to talk about building back better, but everything we do during this crisis is setting us up for the future and for how we can strengthen the safety net. We have to be prepared and we have to make sure there's enough food and the right food going to these distribution sites. Okay. You got farmers there you can depend on there, buddy. You can supplement them to grow crops for food for people. You can supplement them like you're doing now with free crop damage permits and issue more of them, but make sure they're required to bring those deer in and be processed so that they can fill the food banks, and you will have enough. But I have had enough of politicians like this, that's for sure. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Striped bass. 2020 summer fall season in the Chesapeake Bay and its tidal tributaries to be open May 16th. That's this coming week through August 15th and September 1st through December 10th. Anglers would be able to keep one striped bass per person per day with a minimum size of 19 inches. The season would be closed on all other dates. In other words, it would be closed August 16th through August 31st, then reopen September 1 through December 10. I guess that's because of the hot weather and the dead bycatch, or the dead discards is what they call it, being prevalent during the hottest days of the year. 19 inches. During August 16th through August 31st, anglers will be prohibited from targeting striped bass, which includes catch and release, charter boats, and commercial hook and line fishing. During a chartered fishing trip, the captain or mate would not be permitted to land or possess striped bass for personal consumption. The purpose of these actions is to implement Addendum 6 to Amendment 6 of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Interstate Fisheries Management Plan for Atlantic Striped Bass. The proposed action amends the catch limit, the size limit, and the season to reduce total removals of striped bass during the recreational charter boat summer and fall fishery in Maryland's Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries. Now, these have been entered onto the Maryland Register. You can go online. You can click on all kinds of links to read all about this if you want. But there will be a public hearing held via webinar at 6 p.m. on May 11th. Interested persons are invited to participate and express their views. Hearing materials will be posted prior to the start of the webinar. Anyone needing a special accommodations under Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, blah, 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 should contact the Department of Natural Resources Office of Fair Practices at least 3 working days prior to the scheduled public hearing. So all the stuff for the public hearing agenda and all that is online, and we will continue more on this. Let's see what we've got. Shane, good morning. Let's talk to Shane. Good morning, Shane. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
I was just calling to talk about the deer season that the governor wants to open up in Anne Arundel County.
The governor doesn't want it. County executive in Anne Arundel County wants it. We haven't heard from the governor.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We rarely hear from the governor on deer issues.
Yeah, I think it's a little crazy because you know, how many deer get shot during the season and, you know, get wounded. And, you know, if I'm going to go out and hunt, I'm going to go out and kill a deer for myself, not to donate it, you know.
Well, why would you even consider hunting deer in the spring?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Would any reasonable hunter want to kill a deer during the spring?
Yeah, that's
unbelievable. Number one, it's unethical. Okay, because if you shoot an antlerless deer right now, 90% of the does are pregnant. 90% of the deer are less than a month away from dropping their fawns. So what you're killing is one doe and 2 fawns. Okay?
Yes.
So are you going to check in 3? Because I will assure you, the first time a hunter shoots a deer this time of year and decides to field dress it and take it home, they're going to get a big surprise. They're going to get a huge surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too graphic, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for the farmers, is great because, you know, they have to do what they got to do to have their crop survive. And, you know.
So you think it's okay that farmers are given the option to hunt deer 365 days a year to protect their crops. You think that's okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think it's okay.
You think it's okay? Okay. Yeah. All right, well, there's a lot of farmers that agree with you and have no conscience about killing a doe within 30 days of her delivering. No conscience at all. They have no conscience about killing a doe who's just dropped her fawns in the field, and those fawns will die during the summer. But because it's hot, because the deer have ticks, because they don't want to harvest that deer to donate to anything because they don't want to deal with it because it's hot and the meat's going to spoil and they're going to get ticks and all this stuff. But it's okay to waste that deer. It's okay to remove that deer from the landscape because it's eating their crops. Okay? I agree. Look, farmers can protect their crops. No question about it. Let hunters do it and reduce the deer herd during the hunting season on your property. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, if they could come up with a way that when farmers do have the crop damage permit, and maybe they could, you know, some sort of way donate them or, you know.
Shane. Shane, we have a law. It's called the Wanton Waste Law. It's to prevent farmers from wasting deer. It is illegal to waste deer. It is never enforced, ever. It's never enforced. Farmers know it's not going to be enforced. Look, I'm not picking on the farmers. They want to protect their crops, fine. Figure out a way to do it, okay? Let people hunt. Require them if you're going to have a lease, if you're going to, you know, all those hunters want to do is kill big bucks. Okay. So make them kill three does on your lease before they kill a buck. Okay?
Right.
Help yourself by helping the hunter. And hunters, help the farmer.
Right.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you permission to hunt or even leases you property. Okay. Sure, you want to kill a big buck, but help the landowner by taking out some does.
Yeah.
In the hunting season.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Yep. See ya.
Anybody on the line, Chris?
No, sir.
Hmm. Wow. What do you think about this idea? You're a new hunter.
I think it's wrong. Because then the way I see it is that, you know, you put a big indentation in the deer population. Then all of a sudden, DNR is going to say, well, we don't have enough deer. The next thing you know, deer hunting is outlawed because, you know, or a ban like there was with rockfish for a number of years. And to a certain degree, there's still a ban because now they have to be, 35 inches. And then next thing you know, governor says, well, you know, no deer hunting because there's not enough deer. And next thing you know, little bits of legislation get passed under because nobody's paying attention, and all of a sudden we become a gun-free state.
Wow, you've taken that way out to the nth degree.
But, you know, I'm sorry that there's a certain segment of our society that has some pretty far-out ideas.
That's true. That's true. Robin, you're very quiet here today. What's going on with you?
I'm good.
You're good?
Uh-huh.
Don't want to weigh in on shooting a deer in the spring?
I figured I would leave it to the hunters, but I can't imagine being out there and killing a deer and have to clean it with all those ticks all over it.
That's why farmers waste them.
I know that. I know exactly why, and I have a major issue with that. But you were doing good on it, so I thought I would let you go.
Well, you know, I did a deer management hunt in Howard County for almost 17 years.
Yes, you did.
Okay. And we moved down here. I did it the first year, but it became inconvenient to drive to Howard County, you know, that early in the morning and continue that management practice. But, you know, that was a very highly regulated hunt. You were required to take two does before you could take a buck. Your deer had to be checked in. Your deer had to be weighed.
What part of the year was it? I can't remember.
Hunting season.
I thought so. I'm asking.
In the fall. Yeah, it was in the fall. Yeah.
Well, didn't you have to take a marksmanship test?
You had to qualify every year to hunt a management hunt. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You had to be able to show you were proficient and have a signed form from, you know, somebody who tested you for proficiency. You know, used to go to the range and take my proficiency test to do that. Archery, muzzleloader, and shotgun. Okay. If you wanted to hunt that way. So yeah, you had to have your proficiency form filled out. You had to have a carry card with you and so forth. So. That's how that worked. Somebody's trying to call me. Mary, you need to call 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I don't think I'm going to answer that call while I'm on the air. So, yeah. But those deer were checked. They were checked for weight. They were checked for age. They were checked for fat content. They were checked for ticks. They were checked for, in some cases, has several deer checked for chronic wasting disease, CWD. They remove some of the glands for that from the back of the head. So, I mean, that's that was part of the process, and, you know, took those deer home and ate them or donated them or gave them to one of the other hunters or whatever that was for a long, long time. And you were able to take quite a few deer in that program. It was basically unlimited. As long as you showed up, you could continue to harvest deer. There was no top end. But that differs so much from the deer management permit. And, you know, even now, there are permits issued, probably 30 or 40 of them across the state, with a lot of conditions, that you can kill deer at night if you qualify for that permit. Farmers can, it's called an agricultural deer cooperator permit. And there are deer cooperators in this state who kill deer year-round for farmers. So, utilize what you have there, county executive. Utilize a resource that's always already doing what you ask, the farmers, and see if they'll cooperate with you to help feed the hungry.
You got a call.
Huh?
You got a call.
Yeah, Butch. Let's talk to Butch. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning, Al.
How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Butch.
Good morning. I'd like to say something. A friend of mine went down Blackwater fishing, him and his wife. And he's fishing, and she's got a minnow trap. And the game warden comes up and asks him, said, where's your license at? He showed him the license, and he wanted to her. And she says, he said, where's your license? He says, she says, I'm not fishing. I'm trapping minnows. And he wrote her up. Supposed to have a license to catch. He said, you're catching minnows.
Really?
You ever hear anything like that?
No, but I don't doubt it's probably in the regulations somewhere. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and she kept saying, sir, I do not have a fishing line. He said, well, what do you got in that trap? You know, I've never heard of nothing like that.
I'm Googling.
You're Googling?
I'm Googling.
Yeah. It might be a law that if you're catching bait fish, it might be a law that you have to have a recreational fishing license. You know, it might just be. I don't know.
But anyway, my wife was sitting on the porch the other day. Early in the morning, she heard these crows squawking, hollering all over the place.
And, oh, yeah.
And she told me, these crows are going crazy out here. I said, probably a snake. And so I went out on the porch, and they were flying down, coming up, flying down. And I walked over in the woods, and there was an owl.
Oh, man, they hate owls. Yep.
Yeah, they were going after an owl.
Oh, those have been arch enemies since creation, owls and crows, yeah. Crows, birds of prey like hawks and eagles, crows will, they're all enemies, but owls are particularly bothersome to crows. And I don't know exactly why. I really don't. I mean, they don't eat the same foods or anything like that, but they just don't like owls, and owls don't like crows.
Talon envy.
They just don't get along together, huh?
Chris?
Yeah.
Thank you for the information, and maybe you can let me know something on that.
Robin is looking that up right now.
All right, bud. Thank you, then.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye. Stay warm.
It's against the law to use minnows to fish in deer and swan creeks in Harford County.
Okay.
I put minnows in. And
I got it. All right.
Okay, hold on.
Keep looking. All right. So, Chris, I heard what you said. I don't know if the caller heard, and I don't know if the listeners heard.
It's just a joke.
But we're going to expound upon that.
Talon envy?
Talon envy.
I like that.
You know, Chris, you may be right. You may be right. Crows are limited to their food sources. Maybe they're not happy that they can't swoop down in the middle of the night silently and grab a rabbit or a mouse or a bird. Maybe it is jealousy. Maybe it is talon envy. Hey, we can't see at night. Why should you be allowed to see at night? We we can't fly quietly through the forest at night and catch a mouse with our feet, but why can you? Hey. You may have a very good point there, Chris.
And our wingspan isn't as wide as yours.
That's true. I mean, it could be wingspan envy. You never know. Bigger is better sometimes. So.
Question. Did
yes,
he say
sir?
She was throwing a net, or does she have a trap?
Minnow trap.
Okay.
That's what I would Google, minnow trap.
I'm looking. I know. It tells you you can use a minnow trap. It just hadn't told me whether you need a license for it or not.
Right. Got it.
No, Alan, you're right. It could be one of those laws that is in the books. It probably hasn't been enforced, like, for 50 years, and all
officer
of a sudden
discretion.
Somebody has got a little chip on their shoulder, and they're going to say, I'm going to meet my quota somehow. And
I would know no law enforcement agents that are like that. Nobody in law enforcement.
Well, apparently Maryland's got some laws on the books that are just, they don't even apply, but they're
right.
Still on the books.
Right. Exactly.
How did I get to Georgia?
Like General Flynn and the Logan Act.
Exactly.
Just thought I'd throw that in case, see if anybody's listening. So anyway, there's a webinar, a town meeting, a public hearing for rockfish regulations. Public comment period is open, but the 16th is this week. So, you know, since the rules have already been put on the regulations have already been put on the state register, I would imagine that it's just going to be a done deal. So, but here's what I found interesting, okay? And, yeah, again, you can go online and view the public hearing agenda and how to participate in the webinar. But there's also a comment form for striped bass proposed changes for the recreational summer and fall fishery. No later than June 8th are public comments being considered, even though the regulations go into effect May 16th. It's working out well, isn't it, Chris? Good scheduling.
Exactly. It's all planned.
But if you read the whole deal, listen to this now. This is the part I found interesting. There's a potential loss of revenue from fishing license sales. NOAA Fisheries Marine Recreational Information Program data from 2012 through 16 shows that approximately 760,000 anglers make 2.5 million fishing trips annually in Maryland waters. It is unknown if or how many of these individuals will choose not to purchase a license to fish in Maryland due to restricted striped bass rules. Therefore, the actual impact is indeterminable. Interesting comment. And then the next part continues around that. And then it goes over the last 5 years. The average number of trips on the charter captains have reported is 1,723 for May, 1,893 for June, 2,007 for July, 1,776 for August, 992 for September, 722 for October, 439 for November, and 159 for December. So people tend to stop or slow down their fishing activities as the weather gets cooler. But, Chris, I want to tell you something. Went out of Chesapeake Beach one year, many years ago, with Captain Roy Leverone.
Okay.
Okay. There's a bunch of writers for Fish Finder magazine at the time. In November, and we had one of the best striped bass rockfish trips that I have ever experienced. The fish were fat. They were clean. It was a wonderful trip in November, and it's a great time to go for striped bass. So, anyway, decreasing the catch limit may mean that some anglers may not hire a chartered trip. It's unknown how many of those trips were taken strictly for striped bass or how many anglers will not book a trip if they can only catch one striped bass. We're not able to predict the actions of anglers or businesses, so the actual impact cannot be determined. The prohibition on targeting, catching, or attempting to catch striped bass from August 16th through August 31st in Chesapeake Bay and its titled tributaries will likely have an undeterminable negative impact on charter businesses. So what they're admitting is the restrictive regulations on striped bass throughout the summer season will have an undeterminable effect on small businesses, bait shops, charter boats, license sales, and so forth. But for the conservation of the species, these sacrifices will have to be eaten by businesses that are already shut down through the beginning of the Maryland trophy season, trophy striped bass season, and now continuing into the summer striped bass season. So if I'm the local bait shop, I'm doing what some of these guys are already doing. They're adapting. They're adapting to things like fishing for snakeheads, focusing on catfish, focusing on invasives, which is a way to go, focusing on blue cats, focusing on, like I said, snakeheads. I mean, this is the up-and-coming fishery. We went through the fly fishing thing. We went through the bass fishing ginormous thing back in the 90s. We went through, you know, and now we're into striped bass. Now we're, at once the fishery had recovered, now we're into another, you know, we went through bluefish. We went through hardheads. We went through, you know, all these different focuses on fishing where people would, boy, we got to get into this. And now it's big blue catfish. Now it's snakeheads. So fishermen will continue to adapt, right?
Uh-huh. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Two things. Number one, you need to ask one of your buddies because I can't find it. There's a whole thing on minnow traps and stuff in here.
Okay.
But it doesn't tell you if you need a license. It does tell you you need your name, address, or your DNR number on it.
Well, if you have a DNR number, DNR ID number, that means you need a license.
I know, but it doesn't say you have to. It says or DNR number.
Got it.
Okay.
Let's talk to Joe in Baltimore City.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I got another question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. We'll talk to Joe in a minute. Go ahead. What's your question?
Because he's going to get into something completely different. And this is, you were talking about stuff, and I just have a question.
Yeah.
Why is it illegal to use a crayfish unless you remove the head behind the eyes for bait in certain rivers?
Why is it illegal?
Uh-huh.
Good question. I don't know. But it may be because we have invasive crayfish here in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the invasive crayfish, they don't want the spread of invasive crayfish. So if you take the head off, you've pretty much done away with the...
But you can say you can catch it in that river, okay?
Yeah.
At these rivers. There's like five different rivers, okay?
Yeah.
But if once you catch it, you got to take the eyes out, the head behind the eyes. I'm just curious. I've never heard that before.
Probably so it doesn't reproduce. If it's a...
But you can't catch a female or one that has eggs. You have to leave it.
Crayfish.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason it wasn't making... I was just trying to figure it out. It was a question. Hey, look, I found that out. I can't find out licenses.
No.
Go to Joe. I'm sorry.
All right, Joe. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, listen, I just wanted to let, first off, Miss Robin, you shouldn't worry about people getting mad at you because everybody likes you better than they look like Alan anyhow. So,
secondly, thank you, Joe.
Chris, do we have another caller on the line we can go to?
No.
And secondly, I think you should remember, I heard somebody talking briefly. They said we need to have term limits. Remember, if you don't know a really good reason to reelect that guy after one or two terms, vote him out and tell all your friends to vote him out because that's how you have term limits. You vote him out and vote somebody else in.
All right.
I know it's hard to do in this state, but anyhow.
Actually, you know what, Joe? It's not. Because every time there's an election for the General Assembly, we have about one-third of the seats turn over.
That's right.
And you know, so it's not that difficult to reelect somebody. But what we've seen in the last couple of years, you know, Hogan's coattail swept in a bunch of Republicans at the time when he ran and was elected the first time. Okay?
That was a reaction to Marty O'Malley.
Exactly. What happened the last time? We lost a third of the seats in a general assembly, and this state moved way left.
Right?
No left.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I do get annoyed because there is somebody else on this radio station who talks about the clown car going into the circle of the under the big top and making a left turn and another left turn and another left turn. Well, it's true, But on the other hand, as a clown, I have to tell you, I am really upset that people can denigrate my profession by talking about politicians as being clowns. Come on now, they're not clowns. They're not that useful.
They sure as hell don't make us laugh very often, do they?
Hey, can we hire Joe to go to Bria's house in his clown outfit?
Yeah, we could do that.
Because my daughter freaks at clowns.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be funny. What kind of clown are you, Joe?
Well, I used to do children's parties. I used to do anything I could do to make a little money on the side. So what?
I get it. Yeah.
Are you
retired now?
Well, I haven't been doing it too much lately, but I still do balloon animals a lot of times. And one of my fun things was always to do it in a bar, because in a bar you'd have some guy go, look at the guy doing the balloons over there. Hey, hey, hey. And then I'd hand him a balloon and I'd get respect because the guy couldn't blow it up.
I love it, man. I love it.
Smart.
I love it.
So, I like you, Joe.
I was thinking, though, I should be able to use those, too, as part of my float rotation when I'm out fishing, because I do like fishing. And I tell you what, this I think your idea about going after the snakeheads, I saw where one of the people was, one of the tackle shops down near the Blackwater people, said that they were really targeting them and they were encouraging people to fish for them. They had special setups to encourage it.
Exactly. Well, we've got some of our sponsors who are really starting to pick up on the tackle and the lures and the bait for snakeheads. There's no question about it. So a lot of specialized tackle. So.
Yep. And by the way, I always try to get a good word in for Clyde's because I always have a good time down there.
Good for you, buddy.
Great place.
All right.
They really are nice people. So, but listen, you tell everybody to have a good day and keep a smile on your face. And remember to think dirty thoughts about all them sons of guns out there in Indianapolis.
Well, you just did, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Joe, you have a wonderful day.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I like Joe.
Here goes Joe. Mm-hmm. Well, since he mentioned Clyde's, let's talk about Clyde's. It's one of our sponsors, and I think we should. I mentioned Clyde's is, getting more and more snakehead gear in as we go. And of course, the rockfish heyday is people are catching them. I mean, Captain Don sent me a picture of a great big one somebody caught here earlier. He's been sending me big pictures. People are catching them, no question. There are big fish out there for the trophy season, but that's all coming to an end this week. And congratulations to those of you who have caught a fish over 35 inches and you had to take it home and you had to eat it and that type of thing rather than release it. So I mean, you are doing your thing, no question about it. But Clyde Sport Shop, they're more than just rockfish. There are every type of fish, every type of panfish, trout and perch and catfish. They've got the gear for all of that stuff. Firearms and ammunition, rod and reel repair, full gunsmithing shop. They cater to target shooters and hunters and people who are going, out west to hunt, overseas to hunt. They can order any specialized firearm you want. If you're into the sporting clays, they've got the Browning firearms that are set up for sporting clays. They've got anything and everything you want. Yeah, it's a little tough to get certain firearms and certain ammunition during this time of this coronavirus, but they're open. They've got plenty of bait. They got plenty of smiling faces behind the counter that can help you. And, get your license and go fishing now that it's opened up a little bit. Why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. You'll be glad you did. Clyde Sports Shop. Why not check it out? Now we're going to hear about Battery Warehouse from our buddy Chris.
As we get the weekend underway, your forecast, pretty good mix of sunshine and clouds passing by. Going to be windy, though, throughout the afternoon hours today with a high around 52. Tonight, partly cloudy and near record lows expected tonight around 37 for your Sunday. Mix of sunshine and clouds and 65. Monday to kick off the week, partly cloudy conditions. Look for highs upper 50s, lows low 40s. I'm Craig Ross of the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hi, I'm Sean Casey. And this is Bruce Elliott of The Morning Drive. We'd like to share some guidelines for dealing with this virus. First, wash your hands with soapy water for at least 20 seconds. If you can't wash them, then use hand sanitizer and don't touch your face. Keep a physical distance of at least 6 feet from anybody else. Use a cloth covering to cover your nose and mouth when out in public. And keep using our sponsors for their products and services. And stay tuned throughout the day to Talk Radio 680 WCBM, where Baltimore is listening.
Talk Radio 680.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down, then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy's corn squeezing. Ooh, white lightning. Well, a G-man, T-man, a revenue's too, searching for a place where we made his boot. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept a cooking.
White lightning.
White lightning. White lightning. All right, let's take a caller. Who is it, Robin?
Gil,
good morning, Gil.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you.
Thank you for calling 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. What's on your mind?
No problem. What I wanted to ask, I fished all my life. And last summer is the first summer I ever caught ribbon fish.
What kind of fish?
Ribbon.
Ribbon.
Oh, ribbon fish. Okay.
I've never caught... I always fish like from the Chesapeake Bay bridge and everything. But I've never caught these before in the bay.
How many did you catch?
Is this something new? Do you have any information on the ribbon fish?
A ribbon fish.
I thought we caught some with Dad years ago, but I can't remember.
A ribbon fish.
Yeah, it looks almost like a... I'll look. I'm Googling again. Put my stuff down. Hold on.
I'm not sure what it is. It's not a... a ribbon fish. That sounds
like... It has a mouth on it like a piranha. I mean, they're very aggressive.
Yeah, somehow I remember being with Dad, and I thought we caught one on the bay before, a couple on the bay.
Yeah.
But last summer, I must have caught about 15, 20 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, just bam, 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 you know, and just...
What's a ribbon fish?
They're a lamp for. Lamp of form.
I can't fighting fish.
Really?
Oh,
Now, there's a couple of them. Huh.
But I didn't know if they were introduced to you or whatever. But I mean, I was catching.
I'm gonna have to defer to somebody on that. I've never seen a ribbon fish or heard of a ribbon fish in the bay.
Oh my!
We got a couple people
fish.
We can ask.
A beautiful fish. Now,
yes.
You're not talking about a hound fish, are you? You're not talking about a big long fish with a long snout like a gar or a pike or something like that, are you?
No, they have a thin body.
Uh-huh.
They're silver.
Okay.
When you catch them, I mean, it's a beautiful silver fish.
Okay.
What I was catching, maybe, was about 3 feet long.
Three feet?
Yeah. I know what he's talking about.
Really?
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
Because that's what we caught. I know we did, but I'm just trying to remember where.
Okay. Ribbon fish. Never seen them.
I've never caught any, the northern part.
Right.
But last summer I was fishing down on the eastern shore side down in Virginia.
Right.
And I was tearing them up down there.
Interesting. Interesting.
But beautiful fighting fish.
Okay. That's cool. I caught a houndfish one time about 4 feet long. And that it, I can't. I wish I could tell you what family they're in, but they're also a gorgeous fish. Caught one down in southern Maryland. Has a long snout like a gar, beautiful green fins, silver body. Got a picture of it somewhere.
These are silver. Maybe about yeah. 3 feet you know, tall. And,
yeah.
I mean, they're thin.
Yeah.
But beautiful fish.
Oh, hey, look, that's brand new to the outdoorsman show, buddy.
Now, the tail actually comes to a point.
Yeah. Did you take any pictures?
No, I didn't.
Next time you catch one, take a picture.
I surely did. I tried filleting one up. Actually had it. It's a good eating fish.
Really? Good yeah. for you. All right. What did your captain say? Anything? Or do you just go on your own?
Just go on my own.
I got it. Okay. All right. Well, man, I appreciate that.
I just thought maybe you could tell me how long they've been around, because, like I said, I'm 74.
We're going to be making some phone calls.
Right, right. What'd you say, Rob?
We're going to be making some phone calls. We've got two questions about fishing right now.
You have any question?
No. We have two we got to find the answer for.
The license.
Ribbon and the licensing for minnow traps.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what?
I know. We never had a minnow trap license when I was a kid.
Right, no.
No, either have I.
Well, that's because you were a kid. You needed a license anyway.
Well, I was 16.
Well, then you should have had a license. You should have been arrested. Good thing your father was involved in the DNR.
He was not when I was 16.
hey, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
Clyde's. I went to elementary school with the Clyde brothers.
Did you really?
Oh, that's cool.
My father-in-law.
The Blambergs. Bill and Clyde Blamberg.
Yeah. My father-in-law would call them. They would come down. They lived up on the hill. 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Just was to bring down a dozen more fish
yep.
worms.
Yep. Services.
Fantastic. I'm not telling you.
1957 is when they started, buddy.
Yeah.
50th anniversary. All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care now.
Thank you.
Two callers. Right,
bye-bye.
All right. Let's talk to Whitey and Bowie.
Hey, good morning, folks. A friend of mine lives off the Magothy River, a little cove called Ross Cove. And there's a narrow water going up there to them.
Okay.
And 11 o'clock at night, there's a boat slowly trolling back and forth, bright lights so bright it's lighting up the house.
Okay.
The friend's a policeman. He went down there and said, hey, what are you doing? And they said they were snakehead hunting.
Yeah, with bow and arrow.
Is that right, and is that legal?
Yeah, sure okay. is. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a big question. In the little.
Yeah, it's absolutely legal. You don't need a hunting license. You do need a fishing license. But, yeah, you can kill a snakehead anytime you want.
And that light brings them up, does it?
Well, it brings the minnows up to the surface.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a whole food chain thing. The light brings up the things that the minnows feed on, plankton, copepods, whatever they're called, brings them up to the surface. The minnows come to the surface snakeheads are attracted to the bait fish.
Very good. Thank you for your time. You guys have a
You got it, man.
You too.
Thank you. Alan, about deer hunting.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Hey, I've been listening to your program. I've been listening to it every weekend
good.
When I'm working. I agree with you that the farmers ought to take and let the hunters come in and hunt and kills, like you said, kill three does, and then if they're hunting big bucks, then they can go ahead and kill a big buck. But I think if they're hunting them now, you're right that they're killing off a doe and possibly twins, you know?
Right, exactly.
And that's just totally wrong. And then also being warm, except for not today, but warm, and the meat could spoil. The ticks are always high this time of year.
Yeah,
I mean it's crazy, you know.
I just think it's a stupid proposal by
a
politician.
It's a reactionary proposal,
huh?
It's a reactionary proposal.
Reactionary proposal, yeah, probably
yeah,
so.
exactly.
Probably so. But, I mean, here's the thing, though, Alan. don't call on an ethical hunter to go out and do that during the spring just so you can fill the food bank. You've got the process in place right now with farmers and deer management permits. Let them put it up.
Right.
Let them do something to help. Okay.
Yeah, I hate to see the waste of the meat. That is my biggest beef.
So that's what the guy should do rather than suggest a deer season in the spring. You've already got people killing deer in the spring. Utilize what you've got.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, I don't agree with farmers killing deer this time of year, personally.
Right.
You know, but that's me personally, and that's my personal opinion. Guess what? As an ethical hunter, I'm entitled to my opinion.
Exactly.
You know, but I don't necessarily agree with it. Do I agree that farmers have the right to protect their crops? Yes, I do. But do it in the fall.
Do
it in the cooler weather. Do it when the does aren't pregnant, you know.
Right.
And okay, well, yeah, well, they're already eating the crops this year. Well, guess what? You kill them in the fall, they won't eat them next year.
That's right.
You know, kill all you want. But
before I let you go, I want to weigh in on your crow and your owls.
Yeah, man.
My nickname is the Hootie Owl. My father and I, when we was a lot younger, he used to crow like a crow, almost realistically, and I used to hoot like an owl, and we'd call the crows in to shoot them. We had a blast on it, and I got the nickname Hootie Owl because of it.
Oh, that's neat.
That's exactly right.
Yep, yeah, a barred owl. Well, I talk to the crows out here, and Robin thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah, I do.
Yep, she does. The crows will sit up in the tree and go, and I'll go, and they'll answer me back, you know?
Yep. I hear you.
All right.
I love your program. I will check and listen to it a lot more.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Alan.
It. Only been here 31 years.
I just found you about 6 months ago.
Got it.
Coming back.
All right.